Going In Raw is now a CastBox original. CastBox is the fastest-growing, highest-rated podcast app on both iOS and Android, where you can find all your favorite podcasts. You can still listen to Going In Raw wherever you get your podcasts, but we hope you'll give CastBox a shot. We think it's the best.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you'll be listening to right here at youtube.com/ Steve Larson. And available wherever fine podcasts are, be sure to leave a rating. No, hit the sub button and then the notify bell. It was like, I noticed on Twitter, people were like going back and forth with YouTube about the whole subscription notify bell thing. And they're totally like, they're fighting the battle. They're on the hill of the whole subscription, hit the subscription button. And they say, no, we don't think anybody who, like, all your subs, you shouldn't get notifications for all your subs because it'd be too much. That's why we say hit the bell also.
Well, if you're subscribing to something, it's because you like the content and you want to see it. Subscribing should be, like, the same thing as notification. I don't get why they have to differentiate, because if you subscribe to the channel,
know.
It's probably because you like the content and you want to be notified when there's more content on said channel, instead of subscribing to a channel and not seeing any of the stuff. Then what's the point of subscribing at that point?
Why isn't that the default?
It seems needlessly complicated.
Doesn't make any sense.
No, even if the inverse was the case. Say you subscribe, you get everything, you can go back in and unclick the notify bell.
Right.
Then why not just unsubscribe?
I don't know.
I don't get it.
It doesn't make any sense. But anyways, if you're on YouTube and you want to get your notifications, the way to do it is hitting subscribe and the notify bell, and then it might offer you some more options. I don't know.
There should just be one button to get stuff, and that's it.
Anyways, we're also found wherever fine podcasts are. We have a new partnership starting today, Larson, with CastBox. This is fantastic. They reached out to us. Well, they reached out to our management company at Studio 71, and I want to say thanks to them as well. Going In Raw, if you're listening to the show, you probably heard this pre-roll that we are now a CastBox original. This is very, very exciting.
Yes.
They reached out to us. They said, hey, we think that you guys and your community, we want you guys to give CastBox a shot. This is a sponsored partnership. And obviously that means we're going to have more of the money, which means we'll have more resources to make Going In Raw what, Larson?
More, but better.
Exactly. So you can check out the link in the description if you want to test it out. It is actually a really fantastic podcast app, All your favorite podcasts. And we're not going to be exclusive there. If you want to listen on any of the other ones, you still absolutely can.
Yeah.
All we ask, give it a try.
Yeah, give it a try.
Give it a shot.
Give it a try.
It helps support Going In Raw if you check it out on CastBox. And again, thanks to CastBox.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for hooking us up. And then we're also on the Patreon at patreon.com/ Steven Larson.
We've got
75 friendos watching this live stream right now.
That's pretty cool.
This podcast is available as a live stream. If you're a patron, we have spirited discussions beforehand and after each of our recap shows. There was no Going In Raw yesterday.
Yeah, we were traveling back from Strong Style Evolved.
I was on a plane, rumbling around.
Yeah, then I was on plane, then I was in car for like a combined 3 hours traveling, which isn't a lot, but for old men like us, that's basically an eternity.
Ooh, I've got some exciting news, too.
What?
The first four episodes of the Four Lights podcast.
Oh, you did four episodes, huh?
Have been filmed.
That's a productive day.
Well, we did two episodes for the pilot for Encounter at Farpoint.
How long?
The first one was an hour. The second one's like 45 minutes.
Wow.
And then the other two episodes, are about 45 minutes each. So very exciting stuff. Very happy about
this. When will we be seeing that?
Beginning of May. So I'm going to start uploading in beginning of May. That's around the time when I think I'm going to start doing the Friendo. We're going to start doing the Friendoville channel stuff.
Yeah.
You're going to be involved as well.
So I got to start buying more sneakers so I can do sneaker reviews.
Yeah, whatever you want to do, you can do it now.
All right.
Exactly. So anyways, that's a lot of fun. And then...
Pro Wrestling Tees, Pro Wrestling Tees.
Oh, wait, hold on a second. I forgot to mention this. I did this graphic. You ready for this? It's the Friendo Care Package on the Patreon. $20, just one $20 pledge. You give us 20 bucks, and you get the Friendo Care Package. Look at that. You get a comic book.
Why do you have Mecha Santa
you got,
on there, man?
You got the stickers.
It's an easy choice. You put Top Notch.
Top Notch is behind him.
Yeah, that's problematic too.
You get a postcard and you get a poster. Look, you don't get two posters. You get one poster.
You have to make a choice.
Top Notch is on one side, and on the other side is the correct choice, Mecha Santa.
That's an easy choice, and it's a Top Notch choice. It's
look at the Friendo Care Package, and we signed some of the stuff too.
Yeah, well, the comic and then the postcard.
And then, of course, Pro Wrestling.
Pro Wrestling Tees.
.com/going in raw We got a couple of new shirts. Don't buy them now.
Wait till the Mania sale, if it happens.
A week or 2 weeks from now, the Mania sale is going
to
happen.
We're going to try to get some more up between now and Mania.
Yeah, man.
So look out for those.
Excuse me.
You still under the weather? You feeling okay?
No, I still have sick voice, man.
I can tell. Yeah. You still have cough.
I'm still a mess.
Just making sure.
Yeah.
Anyways, I guess we're here really to talk about Raw. So we should probably get to that. Yeah.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
That'd be invaluable.
So last night there was a Raw.
Uh huh.
Uneven.
Yeah.
Some good stuff.
There was one, in my opinion, and I used it for the thumbnail. So if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see it. There was one overwhelmingly cool thing.
Yeah.
And that was the Miz TV segment.
Yeah, that was great.
I thought front to back it was great.
Wildly entertaining.
Yeah, it was. And Bo Dallas got to shine. Curtis mm-hmm. Axel had a mm-hmm. moment. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it kind of bummed me out that, like, we don't get to see enough of what they can really do.
Agreed.
Especially on the mic. They've got a lot of charisma, those two fellas.
I'll say also the Sasha Bailey backstage stuff, despite the staging of it in what looked to be, like, a legit, like, college or high school locker room
mm-hmm.
was really good.
Oh, you like that?
I like that.
Okay,
yeah.
That's good.
Because they finally kicked it up to another notch, and you know.
Oh, I'm sorry. I liked it too. I liked it a lot. I just the locker room aspect of it.
Yeah, that wasn't so cool. That wasn't so cool. Anyway, that was fine. And then I even thought like the Ronda Rousey stuff was okay.
I thought that was good. That's the other thing that I actually really liked. I like the Triple H Stephanie video package. I like how that's being built.
As over the top as it was.
Yeah. No, I loved it. I thought if that kind of production value goes into all the major feuds.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah.
Oh, it'd be great. I thought Stephanie especially was fantastic.
Yeah, she was good, but they really oversold her in-ring ability.
Oh, well, yeah, man. She's crap in the ring. We know that.
Yeah.
But they didn't. I thought the whole idea that, hey, we're...
Essentially, this is a different world you're entering into.
Yeah.
Ronda and we're McMahon's. Like,
yeah.
You know, Stephanie saying, that is, you know, this isn't hyperbole. That's my ring.
Yeah, no, I
own
loved
that
it.
Ring. That's all good stuff.
I loved it. That was great.
But then having their trainer saying that both of them were not only on par with NFL athletes, but surpass
mm-hmm.
the athleticism of professional athletes. Mm-hmm. I thought stuff like that. Overselling things a little much, but
yeah.
Nonetheless, it was an effective segment. Let's start from the top. Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman came out,
mm-hmm.
drop a promo. I really wish they'd have kept Lesnar off TV until the week before, or even at Mania. Here's the problem, though. It would have been too close to the whole Cena-Undertaker thing. So it seems like now they've kind of ditched the idea that Lesnar doesn't care about the fans, doesn't care about his job, only cares about money.
I know.
Now it just seems fairly cookie cutter that they're going to just have Lesnar beat the heck out of Reigns between now and Mania, and then at Mania, Reigns is going to win.
I'm not going to crap too much on it, but they're not doing it right. You want to get Roman Reigns over. And here's the thing. You could do it. You could totally do it. There are ways to do it. I don't feel like this is the way to do it.
No.
Because the crowd was chanting when Brock Lesnar was beating the crap out of Roman Reigns. The crowd was chanting, do it again and one more time and all that kind of stuff.
I know.
They were into it. So I don't know. It's kind of like one of my main things about Roman with his whole thing about how they have Roman win. And this was the same at Elimination Chamber. They don't really transition very well when it comes to the comeback victory thing.
Mm-hmm.
He absorbs a lot of punishment and then seemingly just sort of out of nowhere, he'll hit his finisher.
Roman wins.
Yeah. There isn't like a at least like it.
There's not a story arc to his victory.
Right.
The story arc is just how he gets beat up.
Yeah, he gets beat up and then he wins.
Yeah.
And it's like there's no in between there.
It doesn't feel satisfying for the audience to see him win because it doesn't really feel like there's serious adversity he has to overcome continually.
Mm-hmm.
That builds to anything leading to his victory.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody just knows he's going to win.
Yeah.
And so it's anticlimactic when he wins.
Yeah, I know.
Because the storytelling isn't effective in the ring.
Yeah. So
I don't know if that's him, you know, his relative inexperience. He's been wrestling, what, 5-6 years?
He's been wrestling long enough, man.
Yeah, I guess so. Anyways.
Well, Ospreay's been wrestling for 6 years.
All right, fair point. So is Charlotte, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Or, you know, whoever's the agent booking the matches,
mm-hmm.
whether the pace or the booking of the match, I don't know. But yeah, far too often that seems to be the case.
And so I feel like this feud kind of encapsulates, like the feud is, I don't know, you can either call it a microcosm or a macrocosm or just analogous to his matches. It's going to be he gets beat up a lot, and then he'll just win.
Lol. Roman wins.
There's no like, yeah, there's no arc there. And so I feel like last night was kind of just indicative of that. Like, you know, he comes out, he gets his ass beat, and then, like, what's the Roman we like? We like the Roman who comes out and wrecks things.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't he come out and wreck Brock?
Yeah, he should have been aggressive.
Yeah.
I mean, so, I guess he tried. He got the chair, and then Brock just intercepted him.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know, but why wait till the crowd pops when he shows up to the crowd, like, surprise attack him?
Yeah, I know. I feel like there could have been, like, story beats.
But that's kind of thing with Roman in general, just kind of a lack of urgency.
Yeah, I know.
Like, we just kind of, you know.
He's like a DMV worker.
Ambles down to the ring.
You get to the DMV, and there's no sense of urgency there.
No.
They mill.
They have their eight-hour shift. They got to work, and then once that 8 hours is over, they get to go home.
Exactly. So they're like, oh, whatever. The line's out the door. Yeah, we're good. I'm going to take my time.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so Heyman dropped a promo and said, during which, that Reigns' suspension had been lifted,
mm-hmm.
no longer suspended. However, he was not in the building.
Mm-hmm.
See, he was very clear on this point. Roman Reigns was not in with the Quicken Loans Arena
right.
in Cleveland, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
However, at the conclusion of his promo, which was decent, but pretty basic Heyman,
yeah, it was, yeah.
Who appears in the crowd? Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
So he walks slowly through the crowd, grabs a chair, is about to get to the ring. Brock intercepts him. They brawl. Eventually, Brock gets the upper hand thanks to some ring steps. Beats him with the ring steps outside the ring.
Roman had a pretty strong upper hand to start things off. He beat the crap out of Brock with that chair. Brock went to the outside, and then that's where things went bad for Roman.
Yeah, ring step became involved.
Mm-hmm.
Him again with the ring steps inside the ring. Lesnar leaves, comes back, which is a face thing to do, like if your crowd is egging you on.
Mm-hmm.
So he shouldn't be doing that. If right, he wants heel
yeah. Heat. Yeah.
Comes back in, F5s Roman on the ring steps.
Mm-hmm.
Segment ends.
I don't know why the way they kicked this story off was so great. I don't know why
I'm telling you because it's too close to the Cena Undertaker thing where Cena's calling him out for not caring about anybody himself.
Okay, but here's the thing.
Taker's not going to show up till Mania.
Yeah, I liked your scenario of Brock not showing up. That being said, they could have had the same number of appearances, so it didn't mirror the John Cena Brock Lesnar thing, and just in his promos.
Yeah.
Had him say, here, Paul, give me the mic. I don't care about this. I don't even want to be. I don't even want to be here.
He says, I have 5 minutes of TV time stipulated by contract. I'm not sticking around a second later.
They were going meta with this.
I know.
You know? And so Brock could have kept up that thread and been like, I know exactly. Hey, Roman, guess what? You know how much I'm getting paid to do this right now? Because they exhausted their appearances 2 weeks ago. So I'm getting paid the same amount. He could have said, I'm getting paid tonight what you make in a year.
Mm-hmm.
Or what, you know, somebody, he names some schmo in the back, what Curtis Axel makes in a year.
Because
that would have really got heat on him.
Yeah.
If he takes somebody who people want to see succeed,
mm-hmm.
I'm getting paid tonight what Curtis Axel's making in a year to be here. And I don't even have to stick around, and he does.
Yeah.
I got here 10 minutes before curtain. All I have to do is sit out here and watch Paul Heyman talk for me. But I'm so tired of you whining about my contract. That would get some serious heat on him.
That'd be good. And say the second this segment's over, I'm hopping on the plane, going back to my farm
exactly.
in Canada to stare at my land.
Exactly. And guess what? I might not even re-sign because I don't even like doing this.
Yep.
You're right. I don't care about this title. But it's mine and nobody can take it from me. And you're not going to change that.
Yeah.
That could have done something. But instead, they just sort of reverted to what we saw at 31.
Yeah.
You know, like next week, are we going to see a tug of war over the title?
Maybe.
Probably not, but it wouldn't surprise me. It was the same kind of thing they did last time.
Yeah, I know.
So, I don't know. I think there are story beats that they could be hitting, but for some reason, they reverted back to this, and it is what it is. Next up, we had Nia Jax versus Mickey James. Of course, evil Mickey James now, aligning with Alexa Bliss.
Yeah.
Nia picked up a fairly easy win. Alexa Bliss.
Mickie James was going after Nia's legs,
mm-hmm.
Trying to gain the upper hand that way to no avail. Nia picks up the win with a Samoa drop. Afterwards, Alexa Bliss tries to attack Nia. Nia says, no way.
Yeah.
Alexa Bliss flees up the ramp.
You have to appreciate that the standards and practice guy, the censorship guy, hit the because Nia dropped the B word on Alexa, and
was there a 7 second delay?
Yeah, it always. I mean, it always kind of impresses me how they are able to catch something on a delay because it happened. I don't know how the logistics of that works. Something happens in real time. You say a bad word. You say but, right?
Yeah.
And then do I have to sit there and go one, two?
No. The delay is from when it's captured by the camera into you before it makes it to air. That's where the delay is. So you have a 7 second buffer to catch naughty words.
Okay. So you say a naughty word.
You hear it.
I hear it in real time.
Yes.
I know it's going to happen. And then I'm looking at my monitor and I'm like, okay, so it's going to happen now.
I guess so, yeah.
That would make sense, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But they didn't do that because she said the B word, and then it dropped out. The sound dropped out the wrong time.
Mm.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
My one job.
Yeah.
My one job, and I missed it. But anyways.
Inexact science.
Yeah.
Next, the aforementioned Ronda Rousey, Stephanie McMahon, Triple H video package. Really well put together.
The production value is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. The testimonials from Triple H and Stephanie's personal trainer.
Mm-hmm.
Captivating. Talking about their dedication, they train not to get in shape for a match. This is their life. This
mm-hmm.
is how they train every day.
Mm-hmm.
He says sometimes, and you know, we've seen Twitter videos to this effect: them training at midnight, one in the morning.
Oh, they always have their midnight workouts on Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah,
and I really, I don't know. I just really liked it. I really appreciate Triple H as business but evil
mm-hmm.
Triple H, because it's so condescending and it just really gets under your skin.
Because
mm-hmm. not only is he just a jerk of a boss, but he can also beat you up.
I know.
And I really like that. And I like that he says about Kurt Angle, you know, to him, I find it funny that to him it's just another day of the week. You know, I beat him up plenty of times in my career. You know, but for Ronda, and they're really focusing on Ronda Rousey.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really well done. I thought it was a great juxtaposition from what we saw last week.
Oh, yeah. And Stephanie talking about after Ronda loses, talking about, well, then we'll repackage her.
Yeah.
And then she'll be our employee, and then, you know, we can utilize her how we best
she'll
fit in the company.
She'll say, she'll be, what was it? Just like, she said something like, just like every other superstar in the company that we've put under our thumb or we've whatever, you know, humbled in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Humble. Ronda will be no different than the rest of them. I thought that was really good. Is there any chance to keep this hot, Stephanie and Triple H go over?
I would be shocked.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be surprised if the finish wasn't Steph tapping out to armbar.
Where are all your confidence points going? To Roman?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to Roman.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, no, it might be Asuka.
Really?
But it's 1A, 1B.
You think it's
Asuka's definitely winning.
Yeah, she probably is.
Roman's definitely winning, so it's either or.
Well, here's the thing, though. We'll talk about it when we do our predictions.
Yeah.
Next up was a tag match. The two men fighting at WrestleMania over the Cruiserweight Championship, Cedric Alexander, Mustafa Ali. As Drake Maverick likes to say, the heart and soul. What a brilliant way to build that.
Yeah.
The heart and the soul of the Cruiserweight division mm-hmm. of 205 Live are fighting over the Cruiserweight title. That's a great way to put
it.
I'm so glad they went that direction.
Same.
They took on the two probably top heels of 205 Live, Drew Gulak and TJP. It was kind of a game of one-upsmanship between Mustafa Ali and Cedric Alexander.
Yeah.
Friendly competition. They ended up going over after Cedric Alexander hit his lumbar check, which should have been enough to win, but Mustafa Ali punctuated it.
Well, he tagged himself in
mm-hmm.
prior to lumbar check. And then, yes, punctuated it with an 054, pinning TJP. And it seemed like Cedric and Mustafa had a good laugh about it after the match.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot of animosity.
No, but
just
I want
some
that
friendly competition.
I want
but that's
that to
gonna
be some
intensify
tonight
between now and Mania.
Tonight, and I hope they do something like similar on Raw.
Yeah.
And then I would really love some nice video packages with these guys. That's what I'd really like to see.
Same here.
Next up was probably my favorite segment of the night.
It was easily.
Miz TV. I am so in love with this match, this build right here.
Yeah.
The Miz comes out and he starts to, as you put in your notes here, he starts to shoot on the Miztourage.
Yeah.
He starts to say,
what a disappointment they are.
You guys have not really held up your end of the bargain after I have given you opportunity after opportunity.
Well, it basically says resurrected their careers.
And exposure and all that great stuff. Seth Rollins comes out and he
starts egging him on.
He starts egging him on.
That was great.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
We said a lot in the past about how Miz is really great at instigating.
This is a great table.
And now it was Seth taking his turn to instigate and flare up these tensions between Miz and Miztourage.
Yeah, that was great.
So he stokes the fires a bit. Finn comes out.
Well, hold on a second. After. It led to Bo Dallas referring to Miz as a wannabe A-lister.
Who can't fight.
And that led to Finn Balor coming out. And it's funny because Finn Balor doesn't really get too many opportunities to talk extensively on the mic.
Yeah.
And so it's easy to forget that when he does, he's very good.
Yeah.
He does not stumble. Nope. He has complete and total confidence.
Yep.
And I would really love to see more of that.
Oh, yeah. Especially him going out there and having fun.
Yeah,
I know.
That's
what this segment was. We could tell everybody involved was having fun.
Exactly.
And that translated, like, both Seth and Finn, and granted, it's part of Finn's thing now. It's like they couldn't keep a smile off their face.
I know.
Because it was so much fun.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyways, Finn says, because Miz, after Bo Dallas said that to him, said, what'd you say to me?
Yeah.
And Finn says, oh, I heard, you know, it's hard to hear out here in the ring sometimes, people say, but when you're backstage, like I was, I heard crystal clear.
He called you a jerk.
Called you a jerk. And then he says, oh, maybe I was wrong. Maybe he called you a loser or a coward. And then Bo interrupts him and says, no, I called him a wannabe A-lister. You can't fight. Stops himself. Yeah. Miz turns toward him.
Realize that he got tricked into saying the rude thing again.
Yeah. And so the Miz is pleading with the Miztourage to let it slide.
Well, Bo,
keep your eyes focused on the Intercontinental
title. Bo starts trying to go after Miz.
Yeah.
And Curtis Axel's holding him back. And he's like, do you guys not realize I'm 34 days away from breaking the record for longest Intercontinental title reign? He says, I'm going to be better than Shawn Michaels. I'm going to be better than
Savage.
I'm going to be better than Mr. Perfect. And then Curtis Axel stops, and the entire arena goes, ooh.
Yeah.
And Curtis Axel turns around, because obviously Mr. Perfect is his dad.
Yeah.
And he's passed away. And so he turns around, and he's like, what did you say? He's like, I didn't mean that. It just came out.
He also told Bo something about going back to catering.
Yeah, he said, I believe you can go back to catering. And so they back Miz down. Miz backs up into Finn and Seth. And so he's like in a really bad way. And then the Miztourage swerve attacks Finn and Seth.
Yes.
It was fantastic.
It was all a trap.
It was all just a big trap.
The club comes out, makes the save.
Mm-hmm.
Miztourage out of the equation. Finn gets Miz out of the ring, grabs the Intercontinental title, looks at it. Seth takes it from him, holds it up. Miz comes back in, tries to do something. They get him out again. Finn hits Seth, picks up the Intercontinental title, holds it up
and
over
looks
him.
Like a million bucks.
Yeah, man.
I don't know who comes out of this. I suspect it'll be the Miz.
The only thing is, though, is he's got a kid coming.
I know, which is a great reason to drop it. But here's what might happen. I could see them maybe doing the rematch the next night on Raw and him dropping it to Finn.
Maybe.
I think Finn would be miraculous with that title. I know they love Seth as well. And they might at this point consider Finn and Seth on the same level. So it could go either way.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like Finn could benefit with IC title more than Seth.
Yeah.
And then Miz would go on to father his child for a couple.
A month or two, and then come back and maybe get into a program with Roman.
And eventually break that record, yeah. But I do think that they seem to be in sort of a Miz appreciation mode right now.
Yeah.
And so I could see them giving him a win at WrestleMania.
Yeah, especially after taking the loss last year.
Yeah, exactly.
In that Cena program.
And doing an amazing job in it.
I know.
And by the way, in the process, having that crowd on his side.
Oh, yeah.
Next up, we had a Kane promo, which I felt like it was perfect for the words to be popping up on the screen.
Yeah.
Because he was punctuating his words.
But then they didn't do it.
Yeah. I was not disappointed. I'm not going to say that I missed it. Not disappointed in that. Very happy.
Yes. Next, Asuka took on Jamie Frost.
I love Jamie Frost's interview beforehand.
Yeah.
With Charlie, because she was like, Asuka's never been in the ring with me. She doesn't know what it's like to be in the ring against Jamie Frost. And I'm going to say Asuka's not ready for me. She had this really curious look on her face, like she didn't know what to do. She's like...
And then she walked off frame.
She walked off frame.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
That was great.
Anyways, Jamie gets some shots in, but in the end, Asuka just no-sells it, kicks her in the head, picks up the win.
So they were still playing Asuka's music during Jamie Frost's interview.
Yeah.
It felt like moments that that song hadn't been playing until it kicked back on again. That was a very fast match.
Oh, yeah.
Music kicks back in. Asuka still has the best wind dance.
Oh, yeah.
Along with her music. It's fantastic. Next up, we had a Matt Hardy promo. Was this after? This was after the Corey Graves gave a brilliant recap.
Yes.
I know that they're not going to do this, but they're teasing a Michael Cole deletion.
I know.
That I need to see.
I know.
I never thought in a million years I would want another Michael Cole match at Mania. And I know during this promo, Matt Hardy said he's going to be in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
Yeah.
But I really want to see Michael Cole. He might be, if we did that count out list now,
yeah,
the people we want to see deletions.
Oh, he'd be up there.
He'd be top three.
Yeah.
Maybe even I'd push you to do number one.
Woken Michael Cole.
Yeah. And I wouldn't want to see any sort of character after he takes a week off and then he comes back.
Yeah.
And he makes a joke of like what being the Lake of Reincarnation was.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
I think it'd be great.
But he's running it down hard, and Corey Graves is all on board with it.
Oh, I know.
It's a great dynamic. It is.
It's kind of the inverse of the Elias situation.
Elias thing, exactly.
Where Cole is such a huge fan of Elias.
Made another Springsteen
reference. Did you get tricked by the Snickers commercial?
I didn't realize it was going to be a Snickers commercial. No, you know what? No. So when I first saw it and they panned out, I realized it was a Snickers commercial because I just saw it on Twitter. But the first, when they first, I was like, that's an odd, is this like a some sort of weird video package
they're
doing?
Yeah, that's what I thought it was going
to be too. Yeah. But I thought it was great.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic.
It was awesome. I love Elias so much. He's so great.
Next, the Bayley and Sasha Banks are backstage. We talked about this a little bit earlier in, you know, like a locker room.
I felt like this could have been done. Why wasn't this done in front of the crowd?
I know.
I felt like that would have been better, maybe.
But anyway, Sasha comes to Bayley.
Okay, the lockers, it just sounds, it feels...
Well, hold on. It wasn't like the locker room in like either of the home or visiting dressing rooms.
Right.
It felt like a locker room, like they were. There was a college gymnasium down
there
the street.
There were literal lockers.
Yes.
And it gave the... It just gave the feeling of a high school locker room,
mm-hmm,
because of like how they were talking also.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I thought it was good. I thought it could have been better in front of the crowd.
Yeah, the staging was better, yeah.
But basically, they were both saying, Bailey's thing was, you act a certain way because you know that you can't beat me. And she started to walk away from Sasha after they both talked about being in the Women's Rumble and the nature of their friendship. And Bailey's like, you're always putting yourself ahead of me and you like that I let you do that. And she said, and it's only because you know I can beat you in the ring. She starts to walk away. Sasha grabs her, throws her into the wall, throws her on a table.
They start brawling.
Bailey gets the upper hand. Refs come in. They get
separated
a couple times. I thought it was fairly effective.
Yeah, it was effective.
I thought it was good. I liked it. It wasn't like a Sasha heel turn. It was just...
Yeah, it wasn't really a heel turn for either of them. It was just a situation where tempers flared and they fought.
Yeah, so I thought it was good. It was good. I like that they have this high profile of a story leading into the Women's Rumble. I think it's important to do that so it's not just they're just, you know,
let's
trot out the people who don't have a match
exactly
and put them in a Rumble. It's like, this is kind of important for them. Next up, we had Braun Strowman versus Sheamus. They drop a promo in advance saying, we want to know who your partner is going to be. And Braun says, I'll tell you. So evidently Braun knows.
Yeah.
If you can beat me, because he has a match with Sheamus.
Yeah. Match happens the last 2 weeks when Braun wrestled against Sheamus and Cesaro. I kind of, in one sense, appreciate they're trying to reaffirm that Sheamus and Cesaro are a quality team, strong competitors in their own right, because they've each given Braun something resembling a match.
Yeah.
Same time, though, still Braun Strowman. He needs to dominate.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. They've invested so much time in him, you know, like tearing down pieces of stage.
Yeah.
And granted, he does a decent job of, for the most part, kind of no-selling a lot of people's offense.
Yeah.
But they're, I kind of feel like they're walking a fine line, you know, trying to make sure Sheamus and Cesaro don't look bad while still making Braun look strong.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of worry they might be undercutting Braun slightly because I kind of feel like the response to his victories the last couple of weeks haven't been the same response he had gotten weeks prior when he's done something crazy.
Yeah, they just haven't been having him do anything crazy.
Yeah.
And I see that. But you also don't want to go to that well too many times.
Here's my worry, to a certain extent, is that they're kind of booking the story, leading us viewers to believe that Braun might need a partner to beat them.
Right.
Whereas before, that would have not been the case.
Yeah, and he cleared out the entire tag. If anything, it's like further burying the tag division. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I kind of like the idea anyways of Angle assigning him a partner rather than him picking one.
Yeah. It's going to be Elias.
Yeah, it has to be Elias.
Elias. But, I mean, it's kind of oddball if he picks somebody.
Yeah, I don't know what his motivation would be to pick somebody if he quite clearly told Kurt he doesn't want a partner.
Yeah.
He doesn't need a partner.
Yeah, the fact that he says he already kind of knows who it is makes me think it's not Elias.
Yeah.
That would have been a great story, though.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I mean, like, what is it gonna be, Joe? I don't want to see Braun have like friends, not like that.
But why would he be friends with Joe, anyways?
Yeah, I know.
There's no established relationship.
No, there isn't. Like, there's, hey, you know, I appreciate that you're a badass too. I don't know. That's lame.
Mm-hmm.
Give me somebody who Braun
has extensive history with.
Elias.
Next, Kurt Angle comes out.
Oh, we should mention Braun won.
Oh yeah, Braun won with a power slam.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle came out, dropped the promo, introduced Ronda Rousey.
Mm-hmm.
So they were talking a bit about their match at Mania, and they were interrupted by Absolution.
Mm-hmm.
Paige invited Ronda to join their faction.
Mm-hmm.
Ronda politely declined, and after doing so, Paige said, "All right, Absolution, go attack."
Yeah.
They did. Ronda fended them off fairly easily.
Mm-hmm.
Did another one of those suplexes where she tossed Mandy
Rose.
Now
that I'm used to it, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, my worry with it is wondering if she was supposed to wait a tad longer because she ended up throwing Mandy Rose right into Sonya Deville's legs.
Oh.
That could have been bad.
Okay, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Otherwise, yeah, it was fine.
Yeah, and then she did a great judo throw.
Yeah.
That looked amazing. That looked fantastic.
Yeah, she's going to put Mandy Rose, I think, in the armbar, and Kurt was like, hold on.
She had a great face during it.
Yeah.
She looked mean as heck.
Yeah.
Kurt had to plead with her not to break her arm because she had her arm over her leg and she could have just snapped it back.
Mm-hmm.
So Kurt had to plead with her, and I really like that aspect of it too.
Yes.
Kurt kind of playing the Heyman role to her Brock Lesnar a little bit, you know, trying to ease the monster off a little bit. I like that. I thought the dynamic between her and Kurt was really good. I like this. It's my favorite Kurt since he's come back.
Yes, agreed. Next, we got The Club versus Miz Taraj.
Club won. I mean, it's not much to say about this match.
No.
I mean, the whole Miz TV thing was great. It did kind of bum me out because you look at especially Bo Dallas, and as much as I like Curtis Axel, Bo Dallas has a great look.
Mm-hmm.
He's got that rotunda look, you know, the rotunda face.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a great charismatic face, and he's got a really good raspy voice.
Yeah.
He knows how to talk on the mic.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like this... They should be a faction, not sidekicks.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
Well, that's how I feel about the club, too. I mean, there's not a whole lot of interaction between them and Finn.
And there should be.
Yeah.
There should be. They're much more than... They're I'm not going to say much more, but it feels like they're more than sidekicks to Finn.
Yeah, to a degree.
Because I think largely because of their history, we know that they're all best friends.
Yeah.
And so it makes them more of a unit than the Miztourage, who, like, Miz just sort of took off the... You know, proverbial skid row of the WWE and dolled them up a little bit and said, hey, you're my henchman now.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the club, they're all buddies. They all too sweet each other
and
stuff, you know? Gallows picks up the pin on Curtis Axel after a magic killer.
Yeah.
Next up we have...
Oh, man, this promo from Elias was great.
It was fantastic. He said it was last week was magical. I sold out Madison Square Garden and it just... It's made even more magical when I come to a scumbag place like Cleveland. You know, just how great New York is.
Yeah.
You know.
He talked about
about knowing LeBron James
and LeBron leaving.
Mm-hmm. He said he's already packed his bag. This is going to happen. He said, my brother LeBron James. Yeah, I got that email. My brother LeBron James knows what I'm talking about when he came back from Miami. And that's probably going to be the reason why he hightails it out of here.
Or he says something like, I'm going to pack my bags like LeBron is
at
the end of the season.
That's right. Yeah, it's already happening, people. So that was awesome.
That was great. Anyways, he starts to sing a song, but then he has a match against Rhino.
I was so happy because I was like, oh, a clean victory. And he not only picked up a clean victory on Rhino, but after that he gave his drift away
to Heath Slater.
I loved it. That was great. Anytime you see Elias being book strong, it's fantastic. Very happy.
I know.
Super excited about that. Next up, we have the main event, which was John Cena versus Kane.
In a no DQ match, I believe.
Yeah, they went all over the place with this.
Well, not all over the place. They just went back to the announce area and then back to the ring.
Sorry, somebody here in chat mentioned who is this. The not-so-big dog Cerberus said, I liked it when The Miz said, I live in L.A. when the Cleveland
crowd.
Oh,
yeah, that was great.
When the Cleveland crowd chanted,
his
welcome
hometown,
back.
I know.
Yeah, and he ran them down a couple times.
Oh, too. He ran them down a lot.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Said something like, if I wanted to be a failure, I would have stayed in Cleveland.
Yeah.
I think is what he said.
Miz is great, man.
Yeah, he is.
He's so good. He's so good. So anyways, yeah, John Cena versus Kane.
I'm actually probably seen dozens of times.
Yeah, but John Cena was doing something very specific in this case.
Yeah.
Like you're determined to find the El Generico shirts.
Well, it says I'm processing tees and the link doesn't work.
I know. I got the email here too, and it says the message has not been downloaded from the servers. I don't know what's going on with that.
Weird.
Anyways, he was emulating the things that The Undertaker does.
Yeah.
So he did the sit-up.
Yeah.
At one point.
He gave Kane a choke slam.
He gave him a choke slam. He did this thing.
Yeah.
And it was, I don't know. Look, John is making the most of this silliness. Wait, what'd you think about it?
I'm just scratching my face.
Oh, I know, but I thought you gave a wince beforehand.
Well, no, my face just itched.
Oh, okay. What did you, well, oh, my question stands.
Oh, it's cheesy.
Yeah, it's cheesy as heck. But it's also kind of fun.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's kind of fun. Better than them taking it like super seriously.
Yeah.
Because especially so John Cena, the match went everywhere. There was all sorts of like, there was a great suplex on one of the barriers.
Oh, the guardrails. Yeah.
The guardrails, yeah.
And then there was a couple, there's a table spot.
Yeah.
Two table spots, including the finish, which saw Kane eat an AA through a table.
Kane is, I don't know if it's Cena. I think it's Kane. Kane's, I'll put it this way. When you do certain things, like a suplex, you need to jump with it.
Yeah.
Kane can't jump anymore. He's too hossed up.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of those were like, oh my God, Kane is like, it's like he's, like the gravity's a little bit extra for him.
Yeah.
Because John could barely lift him up a
mm-hmm.
couple times.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at Kane's, the spring in his step just isn't, I mean, he's old. He's
yeah,
not
you saw that
him.
When Cena chokeslammed him.
Yeah, the chokeslam, there was, I think like a belly to back. And then there was,
the one of the Cena's early AA attempts.
Yeah, yeah.
Granted, it was a failed attempt, but still, yeah, it seemed like he had trouble getting him up and then, not just selling it.
And then even his actual AA, he had to do a lot of work
yeah.
on it, which is fine. Kane's old. It's okay. I mean, the fact that they're still having Kane main event and it's not that weird,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like, mm-hmm. why is he doing that? Well, it makes sense because it's Undertaker's brother. And then after Cena got his win, he gets on the mic and delivers another plea to The Undertaker. Just give me an answer.
Do
yes
something.
Yes or no, do something. He said, look at this fan. And then he does this little frustrated thing where he's like, say yes, say no, just do something.
Yeah.
And he kind of trails off the mic.
And he turns his back to camera
yeah.
like to collect himself for
yeah.
a second.
Yeah, and whenever anybody does that, it just reminds me of, you got to see Semi-Pro. Will Ferrell, when somebody, the guy who's shooting the half court shot, what is that, what it is, he makes it and he has to pony up $10,000 now and he's all mad about it. He's trying to rev up the crowd still and he's second half coming up next. It's reminding me of that. I enjoy it. It's a running joke with me and Hilton. But anyways, yeah, so there, and then we ended, of course, with John Cena trying to do the Undertaker eye.
Oh,
business.
I know.
Can you do the Undertaker eye thing?
No, I can't roll my eyes in the
Ross
back of my
head. On Cultaholic, we got a little shout out.
Yeah, I saw that.
Somebody made a nice sign of us in Cultaholic and
yeah.
mashed them up. And he did it on the on his WTF moments. Can you do it?
No, I'm worried since I wear contacts too. That's
don't try that. I tried it earlier on my phone. It doesn't work.
Yeah, I've never been good to be able to roll my eyes back.
Yeah, I don't know how people do that.
As far as I get.
Yeah, no.
That's what Cena looked like.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
It looked like he was trying to look at his hair.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of, but it's goofy. But I'm totally fine with the goofiness. Because it's like last year was terrible because it was like the Nikki I love you crap. I don't want it. I never wanted to see that. And the only thing that was good about that was The Miz, and he was awesome. Him and Maurice were fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Doing their Robo Cena and Nikki thing.
I thought that was great.
So I don't know. Like that was silly, but it was fine. Like Raw was what it was. I watched it this morning and I fast forward through all the commercials. That's a great way to watch Raw.
Yeah, that's what
when
I've
you
been
can
doing.
When you can fast forward through the commercials and the recaps, because boy, oh boy, there's a lot of them.
And they did the same thing this week they did last week, where they broke up so many segments with commercial breaks, where they feel like previous weeks that wasn't necessarily the case.
Yeah.
So
no, it felt like this week. So there, it felt like there was. I wasn't. How did you feel about putting that 205 Live segment on there? I've been totally happy with the way they've been keeping 205 Live off Raw.
I've been fine with it if it was something of more consequence.
I would have liked just.
And
honestly,
they gave it more than 5 minutes. It was so short, you didn't really get to see them do anything.
So here's my thing, and I hate that I'm saying this because I generally prefer action over video packages. But I kind of want to. I wish that this was a really well done 5 minute video package.
Yeah, I think that'd been much better in telling the story.
I know, me too.
Because if you're gonna give them a match and let them do what they do,
yeah,
instead of just doing kind of like a small sample size of what they may do.
Is this shit you're looking at PW Insider right now? Is that real?
Yeah, WWE.com had a thing about it.
Okay,
he posted a picture, or someone posted a picture of him in the hospital with his kids. I think he's got IVs coming out of him and stuff.
What's his deal?
He had an infection brought on from diverticulitis. That's what Brock Lesnar had.
Okay, is it at all related to the beatdown? It's not.
I don't know this for sure, but I wonder if he. Well, here's what I read in the WWE.com thing is that he and his family were on vacation, in the Caribbean, and he got really sick, had to be hospitalized there, and then he flew back to New York, and he's in the hospital now.
Wow,
because he has a hernia. I mean, in the WWE.com thing, they said that after the beatdown from Owens and Zayn, he went to the Caribbean to recuperate, essentially.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know if there was a sense that he was going to get sick, or he had, you know, some issues, and so he was taking his leave of absence from the show to write him off TV for a while. I don't know.
And it said he's going to miss Mania?
Oh, I don't think that's conclusive yet, but if he's in the hospital now.
And diverticulitis.
I mean, that wiped out Lesnar for a while.
Yeah.
So I think he's like Lesnar said, he lost a bunch of weight and stuff because of it and couldn't train as effectively.
If they don't
as he used
know,
to.
I think that tonight tonight they'd have to pull the trigger on what they're gonna do.
So they have to be Zayn versus Owens versus Daniel Bryan,
right?
Which I'm sure they want to do the tag match to kind of protect Daniel Bryan a little bit.
Yeah, I imagine so. Unless Daniel Bryan gets
a partner.
Partner.
Who could that be?
Dolph. He ain't doing nothing else. I have no idea what the motivation would be, but
I mean, they had that little brief interaction last week.
That's the only reason why I said it.
Yeah. Get underwhelming.
Get Cena.
He's very busy, man. He's fighting Undertaker.
I know. But he doesn't know that yet.
It's true.
Like, he does a match with him, he's all blown up, and then Undertaker's like, perfect opportunity.
I know.
John, I'm here. I was thinking of I didn't want to, like, just force a role play situation into the episode. But the idea that Undertaker won't say yes or no could make for a funny one.
That would.
Mark, what do you say?
Mark, I've asked you repeatedly for a match at Mania.
Right,
I would appreciate an answer.
Okay.
At your nearest convenience.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right, champ.
We have two matches left here on the WrestleMania. Yes. Yes, you'll have the match.
Yes, I will think about it. Yes.
We have now one match left on the WrestleMania
Absolutely
card.
Absolutely yes.
Yes.
What? No, I was talking to Michelle. She asked me if I wanted a steak tonight. I said, absolutely yes. Now, what were you asking me?
Would you like to have a match tonight?
Oh, man. I mean, we've had lots of matches, John.
We've had a couple. But you need to answer my question now before the main event starts. Otherwise, it might not happen.
I tell you what, I absolutely see your point. It is frustrating when people don't give you a straight up yes or no.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Interesting. So anyways, anything else, John?
Can we do something, please, Mark?
Oh, what would you like to do? Are you in town? Do you want some steaks? Michelle, fire up the fires of darkness.
I want a New York strip.
John, what kind of steak do you like?
Partial to filet.
Yes.
Anyways, said I didn't want to shoehorn it in, but I'm glad you just went into it.
No, I mean, yeah, it's easy to do.
Oh, man. Anyway, we should probably answer some questions now.
Oh, Sergio C. mentioned here that Rusev tweeted Daniel Bryan that Mania is on Rusev Day, so that'd be a fun team.
Oh! That's it!
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
That's the one. Yeah, let's answer some questions.
The crowd would get... That team...
Kick off the show with that match.
What would they call themselves?
Is there a pun that's easy that rolls off the tongue of Ruse Yes?
Yeah, I know. That's what I was thinking. Ruse Yes Day.
Yeah.
Ruse Yes Day.
That's kind of tough to say,
Ruse
though.
Yes Day. Well, you don't have to say it. You got to sing it because Aiden English
True,
would be
you can
kind singing.
Of stretch it out a little bit so it's easier to enunciate. Okay. Embryonic reflection.
Great question.
In kayfabe, which wrestler is the worst human being to exist within WWE Universe?
Who is the guy that stabbed Cena in a nightclub? He was a former SoCal wrestler that we saw a couple times. What was his name? Let's see. Wow, man.
I was just going to say in kayfabe, Triple H.
In kayfabe. Well, yeah, because he went through a spell when he was a racist. So, yeah, it was pretty bad. Yeah, Aaron Aguilera. What was his name?
Hardcore Kid in WWE.
Oh, Jesus. He was Jesus in the WWE. He was the Hardcore Kid. You remember the Hardcore Kid? Mm-hmm, you remember him, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he stabbed John Cena.
But that's... Was that kayfabe? That was kayfabe, right?
That was kayfabe, yeah.
Okay.
It's totally kayfabe.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I remember the video package, but I couldn't remember if it's exactly
He didn't actually stab John Cena.
All right. No, I'll say Triple H.
Vince and kayfabe.
Yeah, he's pretty bad.
Has anybody ordered a hit on anybody? In kayfabe. I mean, Rikishi tried to kill Steve Austin.
Stone Cold, yeah.
In a car.
Yeah.
So there's that as well.
Yeah. Kane did some pretty messed up stuff. So did Undertaker.
Yeah, Triple H did.
Triple
too,
H is.
Though. Yeah.
Would get my.
Yeah, Undertaker hung Boss Man.
It's true.
That's nasty, too. Mm-hmm. There's been all sorts of attempted murders, man.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, in kayfabe, lots of people to choose from. What a great question, though. Thank you, Embryonic Reflection.
Thank you. Bronze Grappling Hook, where does Miz rank of the best talkers of all time? Does he make it to your top five?
I don't know about top five. That's a lot.
What about top 10?
Off the top of my head, I'd say top 20.
All right.
Top of my head, I'd say top 20. Because besides the talking smack promo, number one, it took him a long time to get to where he is.
Yeah.
And number two, but besides his talking smack promo, he's solid. He's unshakable. Which are good things, but I don't really. He's not iconic on
the
mic.
Well, let's see. We have Flair, Dusty, Punk,
yeah,
Cena,
Austin Rock, yeah.
Who else would you put on there? I don't think I'd put Triple H on there.
No, I wouldn't put Triple H on there.
I wouldn't put Hogan on there. Oh, Macho Man.
No, Macho Man for sure.
Definitely not the Warrior.
Jesse.
Oh yeah, Jesse was good.
Jesse's good.
Jesse was good.
Did you put Bobby the Brain Heenan on there?
No, but he would go on there, yeah.
Are we including managers?
Yeah, we can. Then Heyman has to go on
and
there.
Heyman for sure. Heyman mm-hmm. might be like top three or even one, maybe.
Okay, that's about 10.
You know what I mean? And then like we're not 10. Even like thinking about others, man.
Yeah.
I mean, of the modern day WWE.
Sure. Yeah, today.
Sure, why not?
He's top five, probably.
Yeah.
Jason the Cabbie, how great is it that a significant number of the title matches at WrestleMania are based on competition rather than heel versus face dynamic?
It's all the great.
I know.
To be honest with you, it's all the great.
Yep.
I love it. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, same here. I like they're concerned about putting on the best matches and then finding storylines to motivate the matches rather than just doing storylines they think are interesting and then having the match kind of conclude storyline.
Yeah, no, I agree. Bronze Grappling Hook again. Usually we don't do two people with one question, but I I want to bring this up. He says, which wrestlers today would you want to have a son, daughter, or son or daughter wrestle in 20 years? And how would their character differ from their parent? I'd like to see, I know they're not a couple. I know that Bobby Roode is married and he has kids and he seems happy. But I would love to see the love child of Bobby Roode and Charlotte.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be fantastic.
That'd be good.
That being said, have you heard LeBron talk about the fact that he wants to be in the league long enough to either play against or mm-hmm. with his son?
Mm-hmm.
How old is his kid? Like 16?
Teenager.
Wow. Wouldn't that be something
Did
else?
Did you see the thing I saw on Twitter the other day?
Is his son next level? Is he good?
He's really good, yeah.
Really?
That LeBron spends $1.5 million every year to keep his body in top-notch condition.
That's not surprising. That's amazing.
I know.
God, that's great.
And he's having arguably his best season this year.
I know.
At 33?
I know.
He's been in the league 15 years.
I know.
It's insane.
That's crazy. And all the and not just that, but like in NBA time, all the extra time spent in the playoffs and the finals.
Yeah. And he's never, as far as I know, missed extended period due to injury.
Right. Yeah.
He doesn't get hurt.
I'm telling you, man, he's the true GOAT.
He might be when it's all said and done.
When it's all said and done. I mean, here's the thing. He's not crazy like Jordan. Like, could you imagine if he was crazy like Jordan?
You mean from a competitive standpoint?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even, yeah. I mean, Jordan's kind of crazy also.
Yeah. I mean, Kobe was the same way.
Yeah, Kobe was. I think Kobe always wanted to be crazy. I'm not sure if he actually was crazy. Because there's kind of a difference between actually crazy and just kind of a jerk about things. I think Jordan was legit crazy.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. They're both hyper-competitive people.
Yeah, sure, for sure. But, like, I'll put it this way. I would never see Kobe bringing... Who did Jordan bring to his Hall of Fame speech? The high school coach that cut him?
Something. Oh, no, he just talked about it extensively during his speech. I don't think he brought him.
He brought somebody.
Oh, he did?
He brought somebody.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it was the high school coach that cut him.
I know his Hall of Fame speech, Jordan's, was like an airing of grievances. Talking about every single person that like impeded his path to greatness.
Yeah.
And, you know, he kind of turned it around in terms of saying that's what motivated me.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
Kobe seems like a live and let live guy. He seems like a, you know what, I proved you wrong, but I'm cool with you.
Maybe.
I don't think Jordan's that way.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think that's kind of the difference, in my opinion, anyways.
Could be.
Oh, this is good. I like this one. The Draft Master, Robert Chacone. Power Rank, top 5 gimmicks you would want Cena to impersonate in the ring to try and get their attention. Triple H. Mm-hmm. They're having that match at...
Oh, the greatest Royal Rumble.
The giant Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
The big old Royal Rumble.
So you have him come out there and spit water?
That's going to be on the network?
I guess so.
Nice. Super Chat.
Yeah.
Hey, look, more but better.
Yeah, exactly. I had an answer and I forgot it.
So there's Triple H.
Nakamura.
Would be funny. Nakamura would be funny. The Demon Balor.
Oh, yeah.
The Demon Balor. Have
him crawl down
see him
the
crawl,
ramp.
Crawl, put on some silly makeup.
Hey, friendos. So for seven or so since Daniel Bryan debuted him and The Miz have been at odds, always throwing it.
What? What are you going on about?
No, it's Tommy T's question. Oh. Been at odds, throwing insults at one another, only ever having a match once. Also consider the fact that they are opposite to one another, where Bryan blows away Miz in the ring. It's arguable that Miz blows away Bryan the mic. Oh.
His question is, does Miz versus Daniel Bryan deserve to main event WrestleMania?
Give it some build and it could.
They could build it as such
mm-hmm.
for like the Universal title. I would be a fan of that. I'd be a huge fan of that. Do I see it happening? No.
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 Roman's going to main event every WrestleMania from now until the end of time.
Yuri Dreznov. Hey there, friendos. First time question asker. Thank you for the question. Do you feel that magical gimmicks like Bray Wyatt's Undertaker's and to some degree Woken Matt Hardy are going the way of the dinosaur? Should we see characters more like Ember Moon and Aleister Black that have more of a mystic than magic? Are where these characters are going? Thanks, friendos, too sweet. Handshake. I mean, Aleister Black has mystique.
Mm-hmm.
Ember Moon, her in-ring presentation has mystique. It's not necessarily matched by the character work that she's has done so far on the mic.
Right.
You know, I think there's a place for supernatural gimmicks. Like when Bray was doing the teleportation stuff, that was neat. I had no problem with that.
Yeah, there's a place for it, sure.
Same with Matt Hardy. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Undertaker, like, being able to manipulate lightning and stuff. Mm-hmm. Kane and fire. It's all fine.
Yeah, I would not want... I mean, you need to establish that from the get-go,
yes,
though. I don't want to see Aleister Black, when he comes up to main roster, all of a sudden be shooting laser beams out of his hands. I don't want to see that.
I mean, it'd be pretty neat.
I'm sorry. I'll take that back. I would like to see that.
I would actually enjoy that a lot.
Have you seen my new trick? Laser beams out of my hands.
Patrick Sparks, out of all the true WrestleMania matches, which has the best build at the moment, which is the most lackluster? So far, the Intercontinental title match has the best build.
That's been the most entertaining build. I'll be completely honest with you. I think the Ronda build has been fantastic.
Yeah, it's been pretty good.
I think it's been really good so far. Probably because we haven't really expected much out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like Triple H and Stephanie and Kurt Angle have done a really, really good job in this.
What's been the most lackluster?
Oh, AJ Nakamura.
Oh, yeah.
For what that match is, are you kidding me?
I know.
That's been awful. There, in that there has been zero build.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's next level. One of the best builds also has been the Cruiserweight.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of good builds. I mean, the Nia Jax, Alexa Bliss stuff has been off key.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you can't say that they don't have history and their friendship, and the build has been good. Like, there's legit heat there between the two of them. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in character.
Yeah.
I like the Charlotte Asuka. I mean, it hasn't been much of a build, but
not really.
In that case, you don't really need. So here's the thing with AJ Nakamura. I feel like they could have done something and they didn't. With Asuka Charlotte, it's kind of built in. I don't know why there's a difference there, but I just feel like there's a difference.
At a certain point, Asuka's got to show up on SmackDown or Charlotte on Raw. It's got to happen before Mania. Mr. Ron 38, hey friendos, do you guys think the Cena versus Undertaker feud would be more interesting if the WrestleMania streak was still intact?
Wait, what?
Would Cena versus Taker be more interesting if Taker's Mania streak was still intact?
No, and I'll tell you why. I don't think any of us would have thought that Cena would be the one to break the streak.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't. I kind of like that the streak... given that they needed to do it, they wanted to do it, they had to do it, Vince had to have it. Given the fact that they did it, I actually like Cena Taker coming after the streak being broken, because now it's all about, you know... Number one, Cena's going to lose that match. I think that's fantastic that he's going to do it. No, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with the way I'm doing. Look, if
I'm feeling great, I might as well go out there and do it.
Yeah. Well, if he's feeling great, that's a huge if. Austin Marshall, first time question asker. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Austin.
What do you guys think Ronda Rousey's ring gear is going to look like? Will she go the Brock Lesnar route with UFC gear, or go the Shayna Baszler route with more traditional tights?
I would think that she's going to do the UFC thing.
Yeah.
It's kind of what we
know
her
as. Or something close to it.
But I think
like she can wear the gloves?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, she'll definitely wear the gloves.
Yeah.
Well, okay, whose ring attire at present, if would you prefer to see? Like, how would you prefer to see her?
Like an amalgam of the two?
Yeah, me too, I think.
Like, the gloves are fine. But like some tights with some, you know, decorations and stuff on it, so it's not just plain.
Okay, that's not really an amalgam, but okay.
Well, yeah, but I mean, yeah, I guess not.
No, but I'm kind of with you on that. I kind of want to see her, like, I kind of want to see her in what Shayna Baszler wears.
Yeah, I guess so. I want to see her embrace where she is fully.
Yeah, me too.
And not worry so much about the UFC stuff anymore.
Yeah, I agree with
like,
that.
You know, her judo and MMA background can inform her wrestling style, but she's a WWE superstar now. Embrace it fully.
Yeah.
Leave the past behind.
Yeah.
Don't get sentimental.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with that.
All right.
But no, I'm kind of curious as to what they're, because I have no idea what
they're doing. Yeah, I don't know either.
Interesting. Larson's Black Cat stepfather. What matches do you expect to be on the kickoff at Mania? We were talking about this at...
U.S. title.
At the... Strong Style Evolved. I was talking about this with a couple people there. And The only thing about the U.S. title, do you think Randy Orton would let that fly? It's kind of a big if, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think Randy would have some sort of veto power over that. When's the last time Randy
was in the Giant Memorial Battle Royal will be on the
pre-show. That needs to be in the pre-show, and the Women's Rumble has to be in the main show.
Card, yes. So I'll say the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
Okay.
I'm still going to say the U.S. title.
Okay.
Because the Intercontinental title match is going on the main
card. Oh, that deserves to be on the main card. The U.S. title totally
does. I hope the Cruiserweight match is on the main card.
Given how much the Usos have talked about
that has to be on the main card.
That has to be on the main card, right?
Yeah.
It shouldn't be, though. It really shouldn't be. The Raw tag titles have to be on the main card because of Braun.
Because of Braun.
Maybe, and I hate saying this, Alexa Bliss, Nia Jax.
I was just about to say that too.
That's got to be that. The kickoff show has to have something on it.
I know, because so far there's 11 announced matches. I think that's going to be it. Because the Universal and WWE title matches are on the main card. The Intercontinental title match has to be on the main card. The Usos match has to be. Oh, that hasn't even been announced yet. Usos versus Bludgeon Brothers versus New Day. That hasn't been announced yet.
I would be devastated if they put that Cruiserweight Championship in the pre-show.
I know, I would too.
I mean, there's got to be. How many matches are you thinking on the pre-show? Three?
Andre Bell Royal, U.S. title, and I guess Bliss Nia Jax. But that'd be a bummer.
Which one would be a bummer?
Bliss Nia Jax.
That wouldn't be a bummer to me. I mean, I'll put it this way. That wouldn't be a bummer to me compared to everything else. Look, man, the real women's title championship match is Asuka Charlotte. So the other one. Okay, so last year, the Cruiserweight Championship, the Andre the Giant, and the Intercontinental Championship matches were all in the pre-show.
Mm-hmm.
So swap out Intercontinental for US. And then, I mean, I say that the women's Raw match goes in the pre-show. I would maybe kind of be surprised if they did that, but I hope they don't put that Cruiserweight Championship in the pre-show.
I know.
That would be such an absolute shame.
Mm-hmm. Penultimate Tommy Wiseau, Power Rank play-by-play announcers today. So you have Michael Cole, Tom Phillips, Mauro Ranallo, and Kevin Kelly.
Well, you've also got Vic Joseph.
Yeah, Vic Joseph.
Who's the best, man?
Let's put Matt Stryker in there from Lucha Underground.
All right. You can put Josh Matthews or Sanjay Dutt
from
Impact.
All right. What's the name of the guy that does Ring of Honor stuff?
Oh, I forget his name. Paul Iannotti? Something like that? I don't know. I just made that up.
Yeah.
I think. Hold on a second. I need to know now.
Kevin Kelly's really good. In fact, I'm actually bummed out when he's not doing New Japan shows because he's so good.
Oh, Ian Riccoboni. Oh,
yeah. That's why I thought it was Ian something.
I knew there was an Ian in there.
All right, so of the four listed here, who's number one? Is it Kevin Kelly or Mauro Ranallo?
Weird. I don't really got that made up a name. What's that?
Kevin Kelly or Mauro Ranallo for number one?
Oh, I'd probably go with Kevin Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
I really miss the team of... look, I love Don Callis. I think he's great. And I love Kevin Kelly and Don Callis.
Oh, him and Steve Corino.
Did you see JR call... he called Zack Sabre Jr. Ospreay.
Yeah.
Ospreay standing there in the ring with Okada. No, he's not.
No.
That's Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah.
Although, I'll be completely honest. When we were talking about the Cruiserweight tournament, I do distinctly remember me accidentally referring to Zack Sabre Jr. as Will Ospreay. We're great minds think alike, I guess.
Guess so.
Anyways.
Yeah, Kelly, Mauro Ranallo. I guess I'd put Michael Cole and Tom Phillips, but that's pretty tightly packed.
Yeah.
I like Tom Phillips a lot, especially his NXT work. I thought was fantastic.
I like Tom Phillips a lot, too. I like Mike Tom. I like Tom Phillips and Corey Graves together on NXT because they're so loose.
Oh, I know.
They'd always be cracking up.
They'd have Vince in their ear giving them orders.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, you ready for some play-per-view, Steve?
Which Mania are you going to do?
I'm going to do 9. Did we do 9?
I don't know.
I don't think we did 9. No, we didn't do 9. I'm going to do WrestleMania 9.
Have we done 12?
I don't think so. No, we haven't.
All right, I'm going to do WrestleMania 12.
All right, then. What is pay-per-view, Steve?
Pay-per-view is the best. It's a trivia challenge where we quiz each other on the results of big pay-per-views and who won matches.
Yeah. We quiz each other on the results of pay-per-views of old.
That's what we do, man. It's my way or the highway. This results. Time I'm going to let it all
I
go.
I have...
How many matches do you have?
10 matches.
How do I only have 7 matches?
WrestleMania 12 wasn't that great of a show, I don't think. Oh, that's because it had the Iron Man match.
Oh, yeah. That's okay. Like well, let me go back and do 11. This one goes
I did 11 before. You have to do either 10 or 13.
Okay. This time, I'm going to let it all hang out. All right. Okay. WrestleMania. I'm going to go with WrestleMania 10.
All right. How many matches?
How many matches do you have?
10.
Perfect. So do I.
Excellent.
It's a Ty Dillinger pay-per-view. I'll go first.
10.
In a tag team match, the Bushwhackers.
Mm-hmm.
The team of Butch and Luke.
Yeah, I know who they are.
Versus the Heavenly Bodies, the team of Jimmy Del Rey and Tom Pritchard. Who won?
Heavenly Bodies.
Very good.
Papa Shango versus Tito Santana.
Papa Shango.
Incorrect.
Whoa, really?
Tito won.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what I just said, man.
Which one is this? What are you doing?
9.
Oh, wow. Interesting. In a singles match, Bret Hart, you know.
Yeah.
I took on my brother Owen Hart.
Owen won that one,
you know.
For the Intercontinental title, the champion, Shawn Michaels versus Tatanka.
Shawn Michaels.
No.
Really?
Tatanka.
The hell? Tatanka was Intercontinental champion?
Yeah, man.
In a mixed tag team match, Dink the Clown and Doink the Clown versus Bam Bam Bigelow and Lucha Vashon. Luna Vashon. Lucha.
I think Bam Bam.
You think correctly.
Next, a tag team match. The Head Shrinkers versus the Steiner Brothers.
Steiners.
Yes, you got that one right.
Gee, willikers. In a Falls Count Anywhere match. Oh, yeah. Macho Man Randy Savage. Oh, yeah. I took on Crush. Falls Count Anywhere. Oh, yeah.
I'm going to say Crush.
No, the Macho Man won. I pinned him anywhere.
Trying to put Crush over. Anyways, next. Crush versus Doink the Clown.
Crush.
No.
God damn it.
Doink.
Can't put another.
Nope.
Man. In a singles match for the WWF Women's Championship, the challenger, Leilani Kai, versus the champion, Alundra Blaze.
Alundra Blaze.
Very good.
Bob Backlund versus the bad guy, Razor Ramon.
Razor Ramon.
Yeah.
In a tag team match for the WWF Tag Team Championship, the challengers, Men on a Mission, Mabel and Mo, versus the Quebecers, Jean-Pierre. With Johnny Polo. Oh, Jacques and Pierre. Jacques and Pierre.
Yeah. The Quebecers won that, right?
Wrong. No. Man on a Mission won.
Next. Tag team match. WWF Tag Team Championships. The Mega Maniacs, who are Brutus Beefcake and Hulk Hogan, versus Money Inc., Irwin R. Shyster, and Ted DiBiase.
Who came in as champions?
Money Inc.
I'll say... Money Inc.
Yeah, by disqualification.
Nice. In a singles match for the WWF World Heavyweight Championship, the challenger, Lex Luger, versus the champion, Yokozuna.
Yokozuna. Yokozuna won that match.
Yeah, Yokozuna won that match.
Yokozuna won that match. Next, Lex Luger versus Mr. Perfect.
This was 9?
Yeah. This was narcissist Lex Luger.
Oh, then he won.
Yeah, I should have given you that hint.
No, I put it together. This is the outdoors one, right?
Yeah,
they're all wearing togas.
Yeah.
And the booty, there was a lot of booty in that entrance of Lex Luger's.
Mm-hmm.
In a singles match that lasted 35 seconds, Adam Bomb versus Earthquake.
Adam Bomb.
Wrong. Earthquake defeated Adam Bomb in 35 seconds.
Wow.
Ooh, look, I'm coming from behind.
Yeah, you are. You can get this one right. Next, Giant Gonzalez.
The Undertaker.
Yeah.
In a ladder match for the undisputed WWF Intercontinental Championship.
It was Razor Ramon.
Razor Ramon, the champion, versus the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels.
Also
the
champion.
Challenger.
Why did you put a finger up? Or you didn't? Okay. I got that
right. I put a finger up for
Razor Ramon won. Next, Bret Hart versus Yokozuna for the WWF World Heavyweight Championship.
They did that two matches in a year? Two times? Oh, nine. What was it? Yoko won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have another match to give me?
Yeah, I do. And then the champion, this is a singles match for
WWF. Bret Hart won that one.
Yeah, there you go. The Hogan won.
Yeah. We tied.
Nice! Look at that! Man! What an amazing
tie! You're only down two. You're only down two. It's not a huge deal. Don't oversell it, Steve.
That was the epic, most epic comeback from behind.
That wasn't that huge of an accomplishment.
Of all time.
Nah, not really.
Anyways, look at us. We're the best. Oh, that's a big, big stretch right there. Anyways, that's it for the show. Thanks so much.